Hello and welcome to episode 32 of the First and Gold podcast. I am Ben Roberts, joined by Sim Longa. And Sim, last time we spoke, we talked about how important these final three games were to wrap up the regular season. And boy, did Purdue respond, at least in these first two games. Two really big wins. And it was just nice to kind of one, it was just nice to win again. It felt like it'd been so long since Purdue actually won a game.
Right.
But also kind of just the style in the two games they won were kind of different. It was kind of a grit, grind out win against UCLA. And then, man, nothing could go wrong in that Rutgers game.
Yeah, I agree, man. Like, I think that the UCLA game was, I think, if you're comparing the opponents, like, UCLA was obviously the better of the two, but that game to me very much so seemed like one where we were almost kind of not just playing UCLA, we were almost playing ourselves in terms of, when you lose four straight, there can be the possibility of like some doubt creeping in terms of like, dude, okay, like, will we ever be able to turn this around? And, so they really had to gut. It was a really a gutty, gritty win to be able to make the hustle plays and whatnot to be able to win that one. And then yeah, the Rutgers game, man, that seemed like the exhale, the collective exhale from the team in terms of the way that they came out, especially in that second half. Just the way that they came out, the energy we played with, the way the guys were flying to the ball. Obviously, Fletch and Braden just on fire from three. It just was really, it was a nice way to kind of cap off the season, at least at Mackey, with that type of a win. But yeah, definitely it felt good. It just felt good to win in general, because yeah, it had been what, like 3 weeks since we had won, and I didn't think 3 weeks ago, I didn't think that would be something we'd be saying, that we would go weeks in between Purdue wins. So almost felt like football, but I digress. But yeah, it was nice to get back on the winning track, and like you said, we've kind of knocked out two of the three here, and hopefully, we got the Illinois game on Friday, and hopefully we can make it a perfect 3 out of 3 to finish off the year.
So let's t talk about that UCLA game first. It was a really fun environment, first kind of, just getting back to Mackey after being on the road for a couple of games. Friday night game on Fox, and then kind of the nostalgia of having UCLA back at Mackey. And you had Rick Mount in the stands. And just a really, we talked about it last week, how kind of important of a game it was, just kind of for Purdue's psyche. And I think you saw it as it was talked about leading up to that game, where Trey Kaufman-Wren said that they held a player-only meeting. And obviously not really kind of sure what was said in that meeting, but I do know that if you're going to be a leader on this team and do that, then you better come out that next game and kind of show, that you are that dude. And man, did Trey do that. He had a absolute monster of a game against UCLA. Really could not be stopped. 29 points on 11 of 15 shooting, 7 of 10 from the free throw line. And it just kind of felt like a game, like we said, where we talk about Braden all the time and we'll talk about him more, but it kind of felt like a game where Trey like just put the team on his back too and said, "All right, I got y'all. I'm gonna make sure we win this game."
Yeah, I mean, just like you said, when you get to the point where you're calling a players only meeting, then those are the situations where you need your leaders to step up, and for Trey to, for them to have that meeting, that's kind of like and to Trey to come out and basically it's a follow my lead type thing, and for him to put that to have that performance. I mean, you mentioned it, 29 points, 11 of 15 from the field. Shot 7 of 10 from the line, and then also he drew 9 fouls. So it was a strong performance from Trey. It was one that we absolutely needed. We need every one of those points that he had, and for him to be able to respond like that, and just kind of like, it was almost like he was playing in a way of like, we can't lose. That's just not an option today. Like, this is what stops today. The losing streak stops today. And he was kind of, it was like making sure that, hey, look, if we're gonna go down, I'm firing off all the, I'm making sure all the bullets are empty out of the chamber. But just exactly what you would want to see from one of your leaders. Between him and then obviously Braden had to put in 23 himself, but just for those two guys and specifically Trey to be able to respond that way, you love that for Purdue. You love that for Trey himself. And we like I said, we just desperately needed that type of a performance from him, given what we had been going through, what we had been going through in previous games. And then even for Trey, just personally, how he played in that IU game, very uncharacteristic of himself in terms of performance he had, not just statistically, but just kind of even the way that if you were watching the game, it just didn't look and feel the same way, So, incredibly proud of him for the way that he was able to rebound after that IU game and kind of set the tone and really lead us to that victory against UCLA.
Not only that, like kind of what you talked about, but also for Trey, three steals and two turnovers. So he was making the right play. In a few of those losses, him specifically probably was not always making the right decision with the ball in his hand, and led to some uncharacteristic turnovers. And so just to see kind of him respond there too, and anytime you can have your big man have more steals than he does turnovers, that's usually going to lead to a good night.
Yeah, absolutely, man. He was stellar. And yeah, like he was one of the guys, I think, that Paint, he didn't call him out by name, but when Paint was talking after the IU game and really kind of called everybody out, I think, like you said, I know Trey probably heard those words. He heard those words and took them to heart. And also too, I don't know if you called this out earlier, but like he played 38 minutes. Like usually I'm used to seeing, Braden play like damn near the entire game, but Trey play in 38 minutes and he only picked up three fouls in that time. Again, I think that those are two pieces that just speak to just the quality of game that he played. And again, like I said, we needed it desperately.
And we will talk more about Braden as well. But just wanted to highlight too, like a really good week for him. Obviously, when you have a game where you go 6 of 10 from three, and that's not your better game of the two games, you had a really good week. But just wanted to give a shout out to Braden in this game specifically. He passed Bruce Parkinson for the most career assists at Purdue. So that is going to be a record that's just going to continue to grow and grow, and probably going to be one that, I would have a hard time seeing that record get broken anytime soon, especially as that just continues to kind of grow. So shout out to Braden there. Then just wanted to kind of touch on Fletch as well. 11 points, 3 of 5 from three. And just wanted to highlight kind of this stat of kind of why I feel like we've been beating the drum about how Fletch needs to just take more shots. I thought he was a little bit more aggressive in the UCLA game. Obviously, in the Rutgers game, which we'll talk about, I guess they just decided they weren't going to guard him for some reason, which
Yeah,
ended
that
up
was
being a
wild
really
shit,
bad
man. That was wild shit, man. They're just
decision.
them assholes.
But just wanted to highlight this stat. So this was from the UCLA game. So obviously after the Rutgers game now, it'll improve. But when Lawyer makes three or more three-pointers in a game this year, Purdue is now 12-0. So, I mean, that's why we've been hitting on like Fletch, man, shoot the ball. And it was nice to kind of see him, he only finished with 11 points. But as he's kind of just prone to do, man, he just kind of hangs around that area, the 10 to 15 points. But he hit some big threes, especially in second halves there.
Yeah, no, the second half it was a strong half for us. So I think I feel like the difference in the second half of that game really was the 3-point line. I believe UCLA went, they went like 1 of 8. Yeah, they went 1 of 8, and we went 7 of 14. Like you said, Fletch hit some big threes there. And yeah, just like you said, man, like this is why. when you read off that stat about him making three or more threes, this is why, when you see a game where, and obviously, he only took six shots this game and from UCLA, and even that, I'm like, oh, bro, you can like take more, it's fine. But this is why you need Fletch to be sometimes, to be hit, to be more aggressive, to be looking for his shot more, because good things happen when he takes shots, and especially if he's making them. He's just, again, he's another guy within that big three who's liable to give you, 25 upwards to 30 if he really gets going. Like you mentioned with the Rutgers game, like they just decided, like, nah, we're not gonna guard him. But yeah, I mean, just a solid performance from him. Obviously going 3 of 5 from three with the 11 points. He also had a couple assists too. But yeah, man, I think with Fletch, man, it's just that's the one thing that can irk me with him is just like when I see he's only taking like three or four shots, and like meanwhile, like Braden and or TKR is struggling, and I'm like, yo, like Fletch, you got to understand the moment, like let's go, like, I'm like, it might be your night tonight. But yeah, it was good to see that, man. It was good to see that.
And one last thing, kind of as we wrap up UCLA, and look at the Rutgers game, but we would be remiss if we didn't talk about the game from Cam
Damn, Heidi.
Heidi.
Hell yeah. Boy, oh boy.
Obviously from the points aspect, it's nothing that's gonna like blow you off the page. He took two shots, made a three, but man, the 9 rebounds all in this second half when Purdue was just getting out rebounded like crazy, especially on the defensive glass there in that first half. You could argue that those 9 rebounds in the second half there, that Purdue may not win that game, if you don't get that type of performance from Cam on the glass. 7 of those 9 were defensive, and he was just all over the place when Purdue really, really needed somebody to step up rebounding wise.
Yeah, no, I would, dude. I would go full-fledged with it and say that, like, if he doesn't get those rebounds, I think we actually I think Purdue actually does lose, because you think about those 7 defensive rebounds, and that basically means that, like, Payne will talk about, getting kills and how you finish off defensive possessions by getting the rebound. If he doesn't get those 7 rebounds, that could very well have meant 7 extra looks for UCLA. And they took what, 50 field goals total. So that would have been 57. We took 52. Who knows what those extra 7 shots, like, how many of them they make. And seemingly the trend has been, when we don't get defensive rebounds and teams get offensive rebounds, it leads to threes. So, that wouldn't have bode well for us. But yeah, man, it was a special effort from him in the second half. And I recall, like, as I'm thinking back on it, just see so many times where I saw him just like soaring up to go get the ball, which is another thing I know Payne has talked about how, like, we need guys to actually, like, to find a guy and then actually to go and attack the basketball to go get it. And so yeah, while he only had those 3 points, the contribution he made rebounding wise, and, like, the margin too was 31-23 UCLA. So they, even despite his nine, even with his 9 rebounds, they still out rebounded us by 8. But like, those were big rebounds, because to be able to not to to kind of close that gap, and like I said, to be able to close out those possessions, it means a lot, man. It means a lot, because then it allows us just to turn and run, and either you're protecting a lead and you're giving yourself now an opportunity to extend the lead. It was just, yeah, like you said, we there was no we weren't gonna go we weren't gonna talk about this UCLA game without having some mention and praise for what Cam did on the glass, because it was a phenomenal performance from him, man, on the boards. And I mean, like, if you're not gonna score, we talk about it between him and Miles about how, look, if they're not scoring, then they need to be doing something else. They need to be rebounding. With their size, their skill set, their athleticism, there's no reason why they can't be impactful on the glass. And for Cam to step up and do that was tremendous, man. It was just tremendous.
So a really good bounce back win. And then you look to last night on Tuesday, the last game in Mackey. Rutgers comes to town, and it felt, like a sneaky, almost trap game, There's always extra energy on senior night. But Rutgers, has two lottery picks that they brought. So it was just a game you didn't feel comfortable probably like leading into it. And even like at halftime, Purdue, was up 9, and it just felt like that they should have been up more. And man, did they answer the call to start that the second half? Just really ran Rutgers out the gym and kind of blew the game wide open. For 171 win. And man, what a way to close in the season in Mackey. I mean, just shooting lights out. As a team, 18 threes on 36 attempts. Like, that is just like it was like an open gym out there. And I mean, Graydon and Fletch each knocking down 7 3-pointers. They shot 14 of 25 from three, man. Like, that's just
It was looking like me
wild.
out there, honestly. It was looking like your boy out there.
Okay. I'll let that slide because we got the vibes going. So, I'll let you have that one. But just a really good overall performance. And like I said, just kind of a nice exclamation point to kind of wrap up the home season there.
Yeah, no, I agree, man. Like, watching that first half, it was a high scoring first half. What was it? It was 50-41. And I guess the pessimist in me was sitting there thinking, like, man, like, if we go on a score, like, if we go on a drought, like, this could get bad. This could get bad for us. And like you said, Rutgers, who has two guys who are projected lottery picks, and Dylan Harper didn't play in the first game, so you're just I'm just. I'm thinking about I'm essentially having a lot of these like doomsday thoughts in my head in terms of like well like how this could go poorly. But the way that these guys came out in the second half and just left no doubt, and the energy that we played with, not just offensively but defensively as well. I mean, I'm looking at the plus minuses here, and Caleb was plus 22, TKR was plus 25, CJ was plus 23, Fletch was plus 15, Braden was plus 27. Then I come down, I look at Jakari Harris, he was at plus 15 as well. And when I mentioned and speaking of Jakari, and then also Miles, I think that they deserve credit for how they came out in the first half. Miles, after subbing himself into the game, when he was actually supposed to come into the
Bold
game, and
move.
he came in and got came in, he hit the first, what I think he hit his first two threes, and then Jakari had that 4-point play, and then he also had a three in the corner. And that was, we talk so much about the production that you're able to get from the bench. And like, if you're able to get any type of production you're able to get from them, it's just kind of like it's an added bonus. And it also, it raises the ceiling in terms of what this team is capable of doing. And so for those two guys to be able to come out and immediately make an impact, that was just as big as kind of what what the rest of the team was doing. I also look at, Caleb and TKR, having not 9 and 8 rebounds respectively, like that, like 17 rebounds between, your two starting forwards. Like, again, that's the type of performance that we're looking for, from these guys. And we know, and it's, as much as I love watching games like that Rutgers game, it's like, man, this is the stuff that can also frustrate you when we're losing, because it's like you see what we're capable of. You see what we're capable of, and it's kind of like maybe you don't necessarily hit the high end of it every time, but like somewhere in between, finding that consistency. There's a lot more to be had from this Purdue team if they're able to get, contributions from multiple guys, and then also able to rebound and just play with that overall energy that they have, that they had, really throughout the entire game, but especially I would say, that first half, and then probably the first half of the second half, where they just kind of put it in, like they put it out of reach, essentially. The lead got up to as much as I think 32. So yeah, it was just a stellar performance, man. It was kind of hard to find anything that was wrong. I mean, like you said earlier, like Braden shot 6 of 10 from three against UCLA, and that was the worst of the two games he had shooting three. Which, yeah, that says a lot about how your week went.
And let's talk about Brayden a little bit, man, because like the numbers that he is putting up again, like just things that you are legit never seeing done before. And it was a very Braden like stat sheet, stat stuffer game. Finishes with 23 points, 9 assists, 5 rebounds, 2 steals. But he is now the first player in not Big Ten history, the first player in NCAA history to have 1,200 and at least 1,250 points, 700 assists, and 500 rebounds by the end of his junior year. So one of one there. It just, I mean, just a credit to him, man. Again, like we talked about after the when we were talking about the UCLA game, he's already got the record for most assists at in school history, only a junior. So like, I mean, just it's just wild. Like every time we come on here, he's setting a new record and doing something that's never been done before. And like, man, the way that he has been playing lately, I think too has put himself right back into the Big Ten Player of the Year conversation as well.
Yeah, no, I think coming off that IU game again, which wasn't pretty for really anybody, for him to have come out and respond in those in the next two games and to play the way that he's played, shoot the like shooting how he shot from three, facilitating obviously, and then continuing to impact on both sides of the floor with you mentioned the two steals that he had and then five rebounds. Yeah, he definitely has put himself back in that conversation about Big Ten Player of the Year for sure. And yeah, I mean it's just. Yeah, I don't really know what more to add about Braden on top of what you've mentioned, but yeah, it's really special what we're watching from him. It really is, night in and night out, the burden that shit that's well, the burden that sits on his shoulders, and how he seemingly is like he's routinely answering the call. And being able to be, the straw that stirs the drink for us, to just the guy who the conductor who's just kind of getting us all going. It really he really has had a hell of a season. We say that, and obviously he still has the Illinois game, and then however whatever they might do in the conference tourney, and then NCAA tourney. But man, it just it's been special to watch, man. It's been special to watch, and I say that despite obviously there being some games where we've kind of all scratched our head, maybe wanted to pull out some hair, and some of these low some of the low lights he might have had during the season. But from the overarching standpoint, I mean, he's had a phenomenal season. He's had a phenomenal season, and I knew that more would be on his plate this year as a result of when you lose a two-time National Player of the Year. I can't say that I saw him actually being able to do this. I'm can genuinely say that I didn't expect him to actually be able to do these to do this type of stuff that he's been doing this year. And yeah, like you mentioned with the stats and the accolades in terms of the rarefied air that he's entering in, that's just kind of showing, us and everybody else that like, yeah, it's not just this isn't just like a always high volume, high usage. It's like, no, he's actually doing something incredibly special.
Yeah, and it's like you said, just been really fun to watch. And I did want to just highlight one other stat with Fletch as well, that just kind of goes to like how well he's been playing lately. Over his last 10 games now, Fletch is 29 of 47 from three, which is a 61, if you round up a 62 percentage from three.
That's
Over
me also
his
in.
last 10 games. So that's not just like a few games. Like that's pretty good sample size.
Right. Hasn't he also hit like two plus, like two or more threes in like eight straight games?
He's made at least 2 3-pointers in eight. Yeah. So, I mean, just really been consistent. And I mean, we've kind of joked about on here where like it's almost at the point where you're more shocked when he doesn't make a three. And again, I don't really know what Rutgers' defensive plan was last night, but I do know that leaving the best shooter on the court wide open is probably not going to win you a whole lot of games.
I know Pikal was hot because in that second half because what is it they so we start off on the on I don't know what the run was but quickly like I think the lead went from like 9 to like 18 or something like that. And they take a timeout. They come out of the timeout, and Pykele does an entire lineup change. Entire lineup change. Like all five. Bam. Swapped them out. And yeah, like you said, and then even, but even those guys, even the, you know, the backups who came in, the guys coming out off the bench, it was like people just kept losing him. Whether it was in transition, it was in actually like half court, people just kept, it just lost him. And it was like, all right, well, like, cool, if y'all want to do that. And he's just splashing away from three.
Yeah. Really fun game to
Like
watch when
sports.
guys and wanted to just to kind of highlight with it being senior night, man, let's give some flowers to Caleb first. He was the lone senior on the team. But man, like if you look at his kind of career in a nutshell, man, Indiana, Mr. Basketball, then he comes to Purdue, you know, really sticks it out, you know, kind of in this new era that we're in where when guys don't get like the minutes they think that they're gone. Caleb stuck it out and has been a vital role, and will continue to be a vital role and have a major impact like on how far Purdue wants to go. You had kind of talked about it earlier. I think he finished with 9 rebounds. But you know, that's the effort that you need from him, you know, kind of these last few games. But just wanted to give him a shout out, man. He's gonna go down right now as the winningest player in Purdue history. You know, just all of the accolades. And then, oh yeah, he's gonna go to med school and be a doctor. So like, Caleb is winning and winning at life, and just wanted to give him his flowers, man, because he is a definition of a Boilermaker there, and just kind of really neat to see, you know, his last points at Mackey come on a lob pass from Braden Smith on a dunk. If you're only going to score 2 points in your last game, that's a pretty cool way to go out.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Buddy the Elf, man. It's been a hell of a ride for him for sure. And like you mentioned, like, you know, from where he the expectations he had coming into Purdue, and I think we can all say that he maybe didn't pan out. He didn't have the career at Purdue that we all kind of thought or for sure hoped he would have. But especially when you look at this particular season, and you know, with him getting inserted into the starting lineup and us really having to depend on him, I mean, he's a major part of why we were able to kind of turn things around this year, and why, you know, for you know, majority of the conference season, you know, we had an opportunity to not just, like, you know, obviously be like top four. We're getting a you know a, the like a double bye in the conference tournament, but like, we, you know, we were actually genuinely looking at possibly, you know, winning the Big Ten for the third straight year. And you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't point out the fact that Caleb was a significant part of that. And for him to be able to kind of have this be the, I guess, the fine like the final chapter, I guess, in his story at Purdue over the, what, the 4 or 5 years that he's been here. It's I love it for him, man. And like you said, like, just like, you know, he gets that oop from Braden, and for a guy who we've seen get blocked at the rim so much, for that to be the way he gets his last buckets, that's great. And then he had 9 rebounds, and he had 6 offensive rebounds, and he particularly those offensive rebounds in the second half. There were a lot of opportunities where there were a lot of there were to me there were multiple instances where, you know, it looked like Rutgers had gotten a stop. I'm thinking of one in particular where I think, like, I forget who missed the shot, but I think Ace Bailey grabbed the rebound, and Caleb just kind of poked his hand in and jarred the ball loose. And I think it kicked it out to either Braden or Fletch, and it splashed a three. I think it might have been Braden who splashed a three from the top of the key. And it's just like that type of energy that he's played with and brought, you know, since he's been, you know, inserted into the starting lineup. It's just like, you have to feel good for a guy like Caleb. And yeah, I mean, of course, we're gonna sit here and kind of be nitpicky and be like, hey, well, you know, give us more because, you know, we're greedy out here. But he's done very well for himself, and obviously for Purdue, not just within this year, but also within, you know, his entire time here. He's been a consummate team player, and, you know, has sacrificed for the greater good of Purdue. And so, yeah, it was nice to not just see them win on senior night, but it was nice to see him contribute and play well. And then, yeah, rightfully so, get, you know, that standing O when he got taken out at the end of the game. He really, really did well. He played very well in that game, and he's played very well. He's played well for us, and, you know, as a whole for most of the season. So good for Caleb.
Yeah, really good. And just one last thing, on the Rutgers game before we look ahead to the last game of the season against Illinois. But would be also remiss if we didn't highlight this. And you know, it kind of goes back to some what we were talking about last week, where you know, trying to just you know, this is like the golden era of Purdue basketball right now, and I think this stat kind of highlights it the most, where with this win against Rutgers, now Purdue has 72 Big Ten wins over the last 5 years, which is the most in Big Ten history in any 5 year span. So, you know, while I know the last few weeks leading up to that UCLA game were tough, it's just kind of important to remember, like, how spoiled we are right now. We're literally watching the best run in Big Ten history.
Yeah, I mean, what kind of always like kind of brings me back to center is just remembering how it was, what, 3, 4 years ago when we were just aspiring to be number one in the country, about like, man, like we might actually have a chance to be number one in the country, and like the feeling that we had when we got there for the first time. And then I think what the next 2 years we got back to being number one. And so, like, yeah, I mean, granted, like you mentioned, like those, you know, the losing those four straight a couple weeks ago, that was tough, and that was the, you know, that was a hard thing to go through. But from the overall standpoint, what we've witnessed the last four, you know, 5 years has been really, really special. It's been a lot more good than it has been bad. And you know, we should all be thankful for that, because it's not that way everywhere. It's not that way everywhere. And even for some of the best programs out there, you know, the traditional blue bloods, they probably don't necessarily have this type of success within this short of a window. So we've definitely had a lot to che we've had a lot more to cheer about than we have to be sad about over these last 5 years, and it's been fun. I mean, obviously, I think last year, you know, we came so close, and you know, you want to be able to finish that off. But man, even despite that, I still remember like just the feeling of the run of actually getting there and whatnot. So yeah, man, it's just it's been good, man. It's been a good last 5 years, that's for sure.
Yeah, so looking ahead now to Friday night, hopefully the Boilermakers can build on that 5 year record, and get us 73rd win. But it's not going to be easy, as they go to Champaign to take on Illinois. Obviously, it'll be Illinois' senior night, and you know it always is a tough environment there. But there's still a lot to play for Purdue. You know, it's almost a game where you want to take care of business and not like hope for other things to happen. If Purdue beats Illinois on Friday, they are guaranteed a double bye in the Big Ten tournament. So, you know, it's just one of those games where you just want to go out and handle your business. Illinois has kind of been reeling up and down. But when they're up, man, they're one of the best teams in the country. They can really score. And you know, it's going to be tough. It's a game where, like you said, you with what's happened over the past few weeks, you're kind of in a spot now where you really don't want to be, because it's not going to be an easy game. But you really need this win, because that double bye in the Big Ten tournament is just so big, man.
Yeah, man. I think after they lost those four, we kind of all, I know, at least I know you and I had chatted, and can't remember if I said it on here or not, but I kind of viewed like, okay, well, if you want the double bye, you have to assume that you have to win out. And like you said, that Illinois team, they're no slouch. They just went in. I think it was on earlier, well, it was on the second. And they beat the shit out of Michigan. I believe it was in Ann Arbor too. I mean, just clean. I think they hung like, I think it was 93, like 72 or something like that. Beat them pretty soundly. And so, you know, like you said, senior night, of course, it's going to be loud. And I'm sure Illinois also remembers what we did last year, coming in there, because we swept them last year. So I'm sure there's going to be some level of wanting to get some get back. But like you said, like you're able to win that game on Friday. And it gives you, puts you in position to, you know, to obviously secure that double bye, which is just one less game you have to play going, you know, to try to win a Big Ten tournament championship. And I just think, in terms of what we're trying to build to, in terms of just like, you know, building your momentum moving towards the NCAA tourney, you know, a game like this is a good one to be able to as a good kind of like final test in terms of going into a hostile environment. And I'm just curious to see how how the guys respond, how they come out. And you know, you know, you want to see production from some of the others, as we you know, as we've dubbed them. But yeah, it's just it's a big game. It's not going to be easy, but you know, at this point of the year, you don't really expect any m very many games to be.
Yeah, and one thing too that I feel like kind of hasn't really been talked about, but feels like it could be pretty big is, you know, with this Illinois game being on Friday instead of the weekend, you're playing three games in a 7 day span. And so that blowout game against Rutgers, where a stress-free win. You know, Braden Fletch and Trey, I don't think played the last 8 or 9 minutes of the game. So, you know, you really got to kind of steal some rest for those guys. And I just, you know, that feels like it's going to be big come Friday, where we said like a third game in 7 day span, on the road. You know, I think that was one of the biggest things about that Rutgers win is how easily you were able to win and kind of rest your big three late there.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I didn't really realize that yeah, it's going to be the third game in 7 days. But yeah, so that makes it makes the Rutgers performance really that much more key. Obviously, like you want to win every game, doesn't really matter how, and that's how I say for Friday. Like I don't need necessarily style points. I mean, love a nice whoop, not, you know, no, love a nice like almost 30-point win, because you know, stress-free basketball. But you know, as yeah, when you're looking into to Friday, that rest that guys were able to get. I mean, Braden only played 31 minutes. I think actually when I played more, but he picked up his fourth foul and then they just took him out and he just never came back in. But yeah, you're gonna need, hopefully that rest, you know, is kind of the is one of the things that kind of is plays more into our favor for guys just having like slightly fresher legs. And obviously Champaign isn't the farthest drive away. But yeah, that was that's I did not realize that the whole 3 in 7 days. So that kind of spikes my anxiety a little bit, but that's okay. I'll be fine. I'll have a strong beverage with me on Friday.
I'm sure we all will. As the Boilermakers will wrap up regular season play Friday, 8 p.m. tip off on Fox, again in Champaign, and they will wrap up their regular season, hopefully with a win. But Sim and I will be back next week to break that game down and also. Look ahead towards the Big Ten tournament next week. But before we close out the pod here tonight, did just want to kind of highlight a few other things and kind of switch gears and talk about football just a little bit. First, wanted to just give a shout out and kind of a good luck at today, March 5th. The Boilermakers wrapped up their pro day. So Boilermakers worked out in front of 31 teams. I believe it was every team but the Steelers, but I'm not 100% on that. But the 11 Boilermakers who worked out were Joe Anderson, Hudson Card, Ben Freehill, Ben Fortney, Gus Hartwig, Kydren Jenkins, Reggie Love, Marcus Bowe, Jaira Ocha, Shai Tuilagi, and Corey Stewart. So,
Good job
wanted
pronunciating.
to, yeah, those last few will get you. But just we, wanted to just give those Boilermakers a quick shout out, and wish them the best of luck as they get ready for the draft next month. I would imagine a couple of those guys will hear their name called on draft weekend. And I would be wouldn't be shocked if almost all those guys ended up signing somewhere, and getting a shot. So good luck to those guys, but also for the team in general, started their spring ball this week. So kind of a new chapter has officially started. The Barry Odom chapter has begun. And obviously, seem like you're not going to take away a lot from these spring practices, but it's just kind of exciting, with something new. You got Odom and his staff, dang near a whole new roster coming in. So I would say a lot more excitement this spring than in probably springs past. And at least it'll be fun to kind of at least try to see some new faces out there, and kind of see about the potential as this team gets ready for next season.
Yeah, I mean, coming off of what we watched, what we witnessed last year, it's nice to, I mean, it's just refreshing to have a clean slate going into this year. I don't imagine the expectations are very high just because, we don't really know what the pieces all look like. But like you said, I mean, the fact that spring ball started, kind of just a reminder of like, yeah, we do have something new, something fresh that that Coach Odom and his staff are building, and obviously, cautiously, extremely cautiously optimistic about what we're going to see, later this year. But yeah, I mean, I don't have a lot to say about football because the wounds are still they're still pretty evident
Fair.
from last year.
That's
So.
fair. I would just argue that like these spring practices feel more important than in years past, just as you're trying to rebuild that culture.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And this is kind of how you get that culture rebuilt and established,
Yeah.
is this time of year. So, hopefully they've got the right guys there. Everybody's buying in. Obviously, with it being spring ball, you're only going to hear positive things. Everybody's in the best shape of their life. Everybody's feeling really good. So kind of take all of that with a grain of salt. But these are important times to kind of get that culture rebuilt because it needs to be rebuilt, and it needs to be rebuilt fast.
Yeah, no, in this day and age of college sports, you're right. Like, you don't have a lot of time to do a rebuild. So, like you said, the importance of a spring ball and just like even the off-season workouts and whatnot in terms of creating that bond within the locker room, establishing, creating and setting the standard for what this culture is going to be for this Purdue team. That's very important. And like you said, coming off the heels of what you did have last year, I think that's something that we all, I think, understand the importance of in terms of having complete like a cohesiveness from the locker room, from the last guy on the roster all the way, through, every person on the coaching staff and the support staff, just everyone being in lockstep. And these are the days, the nights, where you're really, really formulating all of that and kind of and hopefully, the fruits of your labor now pay off, in the come fall.
Yeah, so they had their first practice on Tuesday. They have another practice Thursday morning, and then they'll wrap up practice this week with a Saturday practice. So, just really kind of hope they can kind of just start to build that foundation, and most importantly, just stay healthy, and just get through it, and get ready for the fall there. So one last thing, let's just switch gears and touch on real fast. But wanted to highlight the baseball team, again, as they had You know things are going well when you have a 3-1 weekend and it's the worst weekend you've had so far this season. So they went 3-1 back in North Carolina against Akron. They started off with a 5-0 win on Friday, a 13-3 win Saturday at 1 o'clock, and then they had a doubleheader game and lost the after or the late game in 11 innings, 10-9, but bounced back on Sunday with a 14-4 win, and then returned back to Indiana and went to Indiana State and 10-run ruled Indiana State in Terre Haute on Tuesday. So a nice week for the baseball team as they get ready now. Things kind of get quote unquote a little bit more real. Big Ten's season will start their first three games on the road at Minnesota. So good luck to the guys there, but they're getting off to the start that you would like to see. And like I said, I mean, anytime you go 3-1 and it's the worst weekend you've had, that's a good start. That's a good first month of the year.
Right. I agree. I agree. I think the football team would have hoped to wish to pray to go 3-1 in the month. So,
So good luck to the baseball team again, as they will head to Minnesota this weekend for a three-game set against the Golden Gophers. And yeah, that'll just about do it. Again, want to thank everybody for listening. Hopefully it was a more fun, upbeat podcast. Winning the last few games will do that. And hopefully the Boilermakers can the Boilermaker basketball team can get end the year on a winning note as they wrap up their season on Friday. Again, win or lose, Tim and I will be there to break it all down. We'll look ahead to the Big Ten tournament. But thank you everybody for listening, and boiler up.
sir.